Welcome to Pap Talk, a podcast from Contemporary OBGYN, where we deliver expert insight, commentary, and more on emerging topics and trends to doctors in women's health.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Kritchman. We wanted to address for our audience the challenge of coping in this next wave of COVID. And the news reports themselves are overwhelming regarding the Delta variant. And I speak with doctors across the country, including yourself, who are dealing with this, who have patients who are intubated or worse, ECMO. What are you seeing in your region of Southern California?
Well, thank you for having this discussion today. I think it's really very quite critical. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of changes in Southern California. Just recently, we went out and we had to show proof of vaccination to get into a restaurant. We're seeing more masks and mandates. You know, we're also seeing more distrust and more misinformation from patients. Still a large percentage of people very concerned about the vaccine, not getting vaccinated. So there is increased frustration and certainly increased frustration in the medical community. You know, we're seeing a larger increase in unvaccinated patients being hospitalized with serious conditions. And, you know, I know we all have COVID fatigue and COVID concern. I think though, you know, two steps forward, one step back sometimes. And, you know, we're seeing frustration with healthcare clinicians as well as patients. So certainly concerning times ahead, in especially here in Southern California.
So physicians already were burnt out with so many compounded stresses. Obviously, the caring for patients, but caring for themselves and for families, you know, the whole at-home workload also. We've heard also that some even are quitting medicine. What are some steps you think these physicians can take before they just resign?
Yeah, and I think that's very concerning. I mean, physician burnout has always been certainly in the forefront of a lot of clinicians' minds. Even before the pandemic, there was all these concerns with electronic medical records, increasing administrative responsibilities, more regulations, more involvement with administration, increased workloads, and what have you. So certainly, we're at an all-time high for mood changes, feeling like medicine has lost its purpose for a lot of people who feel like they've had a calling. So, you know, I think it's really important to kind of have a balance. I think it's important to talk with your colleagues, lean on your spouse, your friend. Sometimes, you know, a well-deserved break is also very important. And, you know, I think it's also important to do a reassessment of your work-life balance. We're working from home, some of us, and doing telehealth. So try to accentuate the positive. I know it's sometimes challenging when everybody's trying to work and children are in and out of the house with school. I think it's important to kind of accentuate the positive. Are you saving time from commuting? And now that saved time, what can you do? Look at your physical health. I think that's also very important. Probably fallen into some bad habits with diet and exercise. Looking at sleep, certainly very important in the hours that we're sleeping, stress. And I think it's important to assess for mood disorders. I think, you know, depression is running at an all-time high. And clinicians are sometimes, you know, not very keen on accessing the healthcare system, but sometimes it's very important to take care of themselves as well.
When you talked about, you mentioned the 360 view of life versus work balance. Can you go into a little bit more detail?
Well, I think that's really important. And how much time do you spend at work? And then are you bringing your work home, or is it impactful for your family, your children, the times? What are you doing to really cope with this balance? Very often people are working longer hours just to maintain their same kind of revenue, not forgetting that call and paperwork also permeate into the home hours as well. So looking at your overarching time that's spent, and I always advise people to kind of keep a time diary and say, you know, even down to getting an idea, okay, this is how many hours I sleep, this is how many hours I'm commuting, this is how many hours I'm with patients, and, you know, what can I do to optimize my time away, which really is one of the mechanisms for coping, right? For a coping strategy for burnout. Am I getting enough exercise? Am I engaging in sports? Do I have time where I can turn my brain off and get involved with, you know, hobbies and puzzles and other kinds of activities that nurture, you know, my personal soul, not only my professional soul? And, you know, remember that clinicians are very busy with their work, but they also come home and they also have, you know, their homework checkers, their chauffeurs for their kids for sporting activities and other things like that. Sometimes it's important to, you know, tune out to read a book that's not related to medicine, or not read a journal article, or take a vacation or staycation. You know, just really enjoy some alone time sometimes is very, very important. So that balance between how much you're working and your personal things are certainly very, very important. So I think that's an important concept. And remember that, you know, we're trying to look for positive coping mechanisms. We talked about sports. We talked about getting involved with your spouse, doing some fun things, re-engaging with your children or family if you can. And be consciously aware of some of the negative things that are probably on the rise as well. You know, socially withdrawn, don't want to be involved. The concern about overuse for alcohol, the concern for drugs, the concern for missing hours or what have you. So again, take into consideration that you may be burnt out if if your work is being impacted or your relationships are being impacted as well.
When would it be time to seek professional help?
Well, I think it's really important if you're engaging in, substance abuse, if you feel like your behavior is affecting patient care or decision-making abilities, or even if you're severely depressed and withdrawn and things that are not giving you pleasure that they used to, I think it's time to get help. And of course, if you're having any kind of thoughts about suicide, that really should be, an alarm to seek help. And we know that, you know, clinician and healthcare suicide is on the rise, and we should be looking for those signals of underlying major depression and depressive disorder, you know, self-blame, loss of enjoyment in life, oversleeping, undersleeping, overeating, and what have you. You know, I think it's really important to kind of self-monitor and see if you're having any issues, and if you are, then I think it would be very important to get help.
So physicians are in a unique position, really, to talk to their patients about getting vaccinated. How do you personally approach conversations with your patients about the need to be vaccinated?
Well, I think the first important thing is to normalize and say, we ask all of our patients this, are you vaccinated? Are you not vaccinated? And then should you get information that they're unvaccinated, I always like to ask where they're getting their information. Where are they getting their medical information? And I think as clinicians, as doctors, we are educators first and foremost. We need to provide non-judgmental, accurate medical information. There's a lot of misperceptions about vaccination out there. Vaccinations have been politicized. And again, getting the information, the accurate medical information is very important. I think we also have to help facilitate vaccination. Sometimes people are not getting vaccinated because they don't know where they can go. They don't know the risks, the benefits, the alternatives, what have you. They're not really understanding all the details in terms of medical care. Very often I revisit this on several occasions. Just recently I had a patient who was not vaccinated because she wanted to get vaccinated, but she didn't know where to go. So we facilitated that as the clinician. We tend to use pre-printed materials from, you know, trusted agencies, and we look at the medical information and really try to dispel some of the myths. And we want to make sure that people are getting accurate information about that. And again, sometimes they will change their opinion, sometimes not, but I think it's important to revisit those issues and even revisit COVID precautions for people who are unvaccinated. We know that, you know, the majority of hospitalizations right now are people who are unvaccinated. So that's quite a concern.
So do you believe that the FDA's full approval of the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine will change that hesitancy?
Yes and no. Yes, I believe it will. I think there is still some inherent distrust in the medical establishment. I think, you know, unfortunately, medical issues have been politicized and were very polarized as well. I think knowledge is the most important. And, as we move into more and more time with this vaccine and more time understanding the disease process, I think it's quite important that vaccination will become essential for a lot of people. We're seeing a lot of changes in the environment, in healthcare. You know, very often we're seeing some states mandate vaccines for healthcare providers and what have you. So it's an issue about safety and, you know, efficacy. And I think that with the FDA's approval, a lot of people will be swayed to take the vaccine. But again, I think in all fairness, I think there's a lot of people who are hesitant, and that will certainly be impactful. But, you know, the longer we are suffering from this pandemic, and I think it's going to be quite some time. I think the more information that we can get, the more information and power that we can give to patients to understand, I think we'll be better off.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I think, you know, it's really important to, you know, for clinicians to heal thyself. I think it's very important that we very often as clinicians don't take very good care of ourselves. We are very giving and selfless to our patients, and the perception that if we take time for ourselves, we're selfish. If we take time to decompress or get involved in a hobby, we're doing a disservice and we're very self-involved. But I think it's really important to prioritize your own health, both your physical and your mental health as well, and not to lose sight of that.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of PAP Talk. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.